Hi, Peter. Good evening.
Hello.
Please tell me and our listeners a little bit about what you do.
My job is to be a sociologist, and my little specialization is how society deals with drugs and alcohol and what the ideas are that people in our different societies on the globe have about this. I work in the field of drug policy as a kind of side effect of my scientific work. I'm interested in how people speak about drugs and what ideas they have. And I concluded, with a lot of others, by the way, that the way we think about drugs has very many similarities to religion. And so I ask myself, where does this religion come from, and if it is based on completely nonsensical information about drugs, it is a pity. So if you connect these two things, you will see that much of our drug policies is related to very old and very primitive ideas about drugs, and then it becomes almost necessary to try to change these drug policies because they are so bad for so many people.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, oh, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Talk a little bit about your latest article that was published on Sidro's website. It's titled Bewitched, Bedeviled, Possessed, Addicted, and it's about the origins and concept of addiction. It seems to me that while other researchers have come a long way to the point that they are willing to recognize heavy drug users as sick people, you've gone one step further and you claim that those people are neither addicted nor sick. Am I right?
You could say that people who really like to take drugs and do this every day, or use the drugs for particular functions in their lives, you could also define this as a certain lifestyle. And that is what I do. I think that people have the right to have those lifestyles. Like 200 years ago, it would have been unthinkable to say that people would have the right to not believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
That either you were a sinner or a heretic, or you were completely crazy and you were created or seen as an ill person. But mm-hmm. nowadays it's very normal to think about people as having the freedom to live in that type of mentality.
This is a warning, another cut to move on. Another beef that's so strong, hold on and I get wicked in this song. Stir up shit is the wickedest wisdom. People coming up, I'm straight low. Pro black and it ain't no joke. Coming straight from the mob that broke shit last time. Now I'm back with a brand new sick rhyme. So black check time and tempo. Revolution ain't never been simple. Following the path for mama for no just build your brain and we'll soon make progress. Paid your dues, don't snooze or lose. They came with the master plan and got you. Don't know who's opposed to the dominant dark skin. Food for thought is a law for the brother man. Tempo 116.7 keeps you locked in time with the program. When I get wild, I'll pile on dope jams. Then spit on your flag and government. Cause help the black was a concept never meant. Nigga, please, food stamps and free cheese can't be the cure for a sick disease. Just the way the devil had planned it. Raped and pillaged everyone on the planet. They give them fake gods at odds with all law. Love thy enemy and all that hoopla. Here comes the words I wrote. Crack cocaine is genocide of black folk. Who in their right mind ever could have missed this? Damn right when you think seditious, then I move swiftly. They can't get with me. The 666 move quick but miss me. When I came off involved in conscious. So don't ask why next time I start this. Freestyle, I feel and fill your mind up with know-how. A common sense, a defense. The next time a pig try to step to this, listen, never let someone whoop on you. They don't belong to the set you from you. Can't be intrigued by the leaves a pig lead unless you don't give a fuck to be free. Keep stomping on them, keep stomping. Attitude, but I ain't from Compton. I can't be fucked around, I'm muffed around. I can't be held down, check the sound. And keep in tune on point, on target. The revolution won't be thwarted. A setback, cause my man is plain to see. Lust in a white supremacy, so let the rhythm roll on when I kick this. Brothers gonna work it out with a quickness. And now you know just why our Panther went crazy. The devil made me.
ערב טוב לכל המאזינים שלנו. Hi, good evening to all our listeners. אני חייבת לדבר גם קצת באנגלית, כי אני יודעת שיש לנו הרבה מאזינים מחול, מארצות הברית ומאנגליה היום. So, good evening to all our English speakers, and you can talk to me through the radio page. If you click on chat with Bracha, you can talk to me and Peter. We are here in the studio. And we're waiting for your questions, and we'll go on with the interview. I understand you'd much rather use the word junkie than addict, because you don't believe in the whole concept of addiction. Could you tell us why?
We call certain people, we call them addicted, because we think that something else, like the desire for the drug, has taken possession of them. But when people are very sad because they no longer have their lover, and they are mourning, and sometimes this takes years, because before people are over the loss of some loved one, we do not call them addicted to the love,
to love.
Or to the other
yeah.
person. Apparently, we humans can connect with a lot of affection to other people or to lifestyles, to certain ways of life. And if we are forced to lose these objects of our affection, we feel this.
Yes, but maybe in the case of losing a loved one, you might not throw up and sweat and feel like, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So you're saying all this is really psychosomatic?
Yeah, we are, humans are complex interrelations between their own physics and the physics in their entourage, in their surroundings. And so missing something can really result into very strong bodily reactions. Now, of course, when you take drugs and these drugs interfere in your bodily chemical system, that will leave traces. But for instance, I've known many people, you know, in Holland, many junkies get money from the state, and in the summer they go on holidays to Spain. Mm-hmm. And you can bring methadone into Spain, but you need a lot of papers, and you have to go here and you have to go there. So this is too much hassle for them. And what they do is a week or 2 weeks before they go on holidays, they detox. Mostly they don't need anyone or anybody for that. They go to Spain for 3-4 weeks. And when they come back, they go back to methadone and heroin, as they have always liked to do. So let's say the withdrawal symptoms that you will get when you are no longer using a particular drug, and this can be alcohol, it can be coffee, it can be opiates, the importance they have for how you feel is of course very relative. And it is also not the physical elements of missing the drug that makes people ill.
And you're saying that it might be easier for people to give up stuff if they know it's for a limited time?
Oh no, it's not at all difficult. And it is also, people will give up a drug, whatever drug, if the cost of the drug is too high, or, and that doesn't mean, I don't mean financial terms,
yeah,
but if the functionality of using the drug has gone back to such a small amount that people say, why the hell would I continue doing this, and I have now other stuff that fulfills my dreams. And
then they come to think that the only reason that they are still using it is that because they are addicted and cannot shake this habit off, and that's really what keeps them going, because that belief might be the thing that keeps them going, because they believe it's stronger than them.
No, it is really true that some people will continue using a drug because they think they cannot stop. I mean, we are now speaking about stopping drug use, but what we should ask ourselves is, how important is this stopping anyway? Why would people have to stop? And my thesis is that people have far more freedom in relation to drugs than they now think they have, and they can use that and in my views they should be able to use this freedom in whatever way they choose. So first, they have far more freedom than they think, and others think they have, but I think they should add to themselves the freedom to see themselves as completely normal.
Satisfied.
noticed that you never use the word abuse, and I'm sure that's no coincidence. Am I right?
I never use the word abuse or misuse, what the English do, or addiction, because all these words relate to a particular type of thinking and theory about drugs that, in my view, is completely wrong. We in our daily use of words and language, do we use the word heretic? Do we use the word possessed by the devil? I mean, all these old terms.
Maybe when we are deeply in love and someone is leaving us, then we can say safely that we feel like we're possessed by the devil, you know?
I don't know, but we don't often use these terms anymore, although they were very common, let's say, between 1200 and 1800. I mean, in the article that you just referred to, I quote a case of witchcraft
in England
in 1890. Yeah. So this language has remained very long with us, but at a certain moment, witchcraft and the ideas around it receded so much in our social kind of memory that we no longer use these terms. Yeah. And I think that we should also stop using words like abuse or addiction, because they refer to a type of thinking about drug use that makes it into something either crazy or criminal or pathological.
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, I got a boy child coming. He's gonna be a son of a gun. He's gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what's this all about. Black cat bone, I got a mojo too. I got the John the Conqueror. I'm gonna mess with you. I'm gonna make you girls lead me by my hand. Then the world I know the hoochie coochie man. But you know I'm here. On the 7 hours, on the 7 day, on the 7 month, the 7 doctors say he was born for good luck, and that you see, I got $700. Don't you mess with me, but you know, yeah.
אנחנו עדיין כאן בשידור, ואני רוצה להזמין את כל המאזינים שלנו לתקשר איתי דרך עמוד הרדיו. פיטר גם נמצא פה, אנחנו ניתן לו ווליום וניתן לו להגיד שלום. פיטר, say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners.
Hi. This is just to prove that Peter is a real person, because I know people always suspect me that I do all those interviews myself and that I interview myself and tell you all those stuff hidden behind other names. So this is my proof that he is a real person and is here, and you are invited to ask him questions through the Jabber in my radio page, and please feel free to nag. Now, the last time we spoke, I've heard you comparing our relationships with drugs to love affairs. Could you tell our listeners what exactly do you mean by that?
Some people really fall in love with what a particular drug can do for them. And I consider this their full right to have this love affair. And if you interfere in any love affair, if you take two lovers away from each other, they will have extremely strong reactions. But if a love affair simply dies out because it has had its time and people get tired of each other and they find new loves, then there is no problem at all in giving up the love affair, or maybe some, but incomparable to having to do this under forced conditions.
Yes, and I understand that most people do stop using drugs once they get to a certain age. They just don't care about it as much anymore.
Now, for 95% of people, drugs are fully dependent on lifestyle variables.
So
if you empirically look at the epidemiology of cocaine or cannabis or amphetamine in the Netherlands and anywhere else, you will see that these drugs are used during a certain period in life, and they are also very functional in that period. You go dancing and you dance the whole night and you like the boost that cocaine or amphetamine can give this. But you know, later you have a job and you get up at 7 and you don't go out the whole night, and your kids scream at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I don't like, I just try.
Yeah. kill Rocky Mouse. Oh, lover, keep reminding me of my home. And there's a place for everyone to play. There's a place for everyone, ease my pain. Oh, lover, keep knocking on my door. Oh, lover, keep raising my home. And there's a place for everyone to stay. There's a place for everyone, take your place. But it's in my heart, I want to get it over, get it over, so that I might find some peace on some mind. Keep crossing my rails, transforming my view to a silly phrase. And there's a place for everyone to try. There's a place for everyone, me and my child. In my heart, get it over, get it over, so that I might find some peace of mind. Yes, it's in my heart, get it over, get it over, so that I might find some peace of mind. Thank you.
טוב, אנחנו עדיין כאן, קצת בלגנים, נופלים מיקרופונים מדי פעם. רציתי להזכיר לכם שאתם יכולים לקרוא את התרגום של הרעיון בעמוד הרדיו. And I wanted to remind our English speakers, listeners, that they can chat with me and Peter, and we'll answer all questions at the end of the show, before the end of the show, which will be in a little while. What's your opinion about methadone? Because from what I see here in Israel, and I have many friends who have used heroin, and then some of them were forced to stop by the government and by jails and to move to methadone, and just what's your take on it, substituting one drug for another? Is this not kind of fooling yourself?
Yeah. Many of our ideas are related to drug use can be okay if the doctor says it's okay. Our own autonomy cannot play a role here. It's like in some cultures, the women cannot decide with whom they will marry. Their own autonomy cannot play a role. The marriage is arranged.
Yeah.
And in our society, the marriage to a drug is arranged. You cannot choose yourself. But if the doctor tells you you can use this stuff, then it is okay. Now, we know that all opiates have cross-tolerance.
Have what?
Cross-tolerance, which means you can replace one opiate for another.
Mm-hmm.
With the opiates, because, you know, people make in their own bodies about three opiates. We call them the endogenic morphines or endorphines.
Mm-hmm.
And so our body chemistry cannot live without opiates. We cannot live without oxygen. We cannot live without opiates. So our body makes this for us every day. And for some people this is not enough. You could say, although I don't know if the comparison is completely adequate, sometimes people's lungs do not transport enough oxygen into their blood, so people have a little help from a small tank, and which gives them a little bit more oxygen. So you could say that if there is a group of people that like to have more opiates than their body can make for them, and it doesn't really matter what sort of opiate it is. And I know many people that are quite happy on methadone as long as they can get it in a very easy going way. So in the Netherlands now you can get almost any opiate. If you are an opiate user, you can have morphine if you want to, you can have heroin, you can have methadone. So there is a reasonable choice of types of opiate that you can get, and but again, according to me, this is so disciplined and so organized by the state that I think that people should have this freedom themselves. They should have to be able to go into a shop and say, I want 100 grams of heroin for the next 6 months, and this is how you do that. And we will go there.
People plan ahead, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I go once a week, once a month, I go to a big store, and I'm a beer drinker, and I buy 100 bottles of beer. I don't want to go every day into the shop, so I plan ahead for a month.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do this with other stuff? And you asked me, what do I think about methadone? I'm not very much against methadone. I'm against methadone, which is part of a very forced regime.
Yeah.
And
it's a forced solution, like they force you to solve a problem.
So the problem is not really solved, because people have decided for themselves that they like extra opiates more than their body makes for them. So in itself, I am not against methadone. I am against the treatment regimes in which they play a role.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I deal a lot with trying to explain to young people and people who are just being introduced to the drug world how to use it wisely. Like, for instance, I see many people dropping acid in a place where there is a big chance to have bad vibes, and not being aware of that actually they're taking a big chance of being in a bad situation, in a very sensitive mood. I was wondering, what do they do in the Netherlands about, talking to the young generation about drugs? Do they do anything special? Do they have special programs or special documents?
Yeah, there is quite a lot of documents. There is also Dutch websites where you can find what is LSD and who uses it and what for. Most of these official websites are very much on the warning side of things, but there is also decent, very decent information. So what you are saying now, don't use LSD in particular situations because that is probably not going to be nice, that type of information you can find easily. But also you shouldn't forget that taking LSD in a culture that perceives it as extremely deviant, the act of taking it is far more important than its potential effects. For many young people, taking a drug that is forbidden has some sort of atmosphere around it of challenging authority.
Yes.
And challenging authority can be a very important experience. And if the act of challenging authority is I take LSD, that is quite complicated because the LSD itself has also effects. So you quickly learn this. I don't think that you have to warn people very much, but you can do that. But people have the experience themselves that they didn't like the LSD in a particular situation at all. And you have to see the use of drugs as some sort of extra education that people need and also will take care of themselves very often. They speak about it with their friends and they say, listen, I thought it would be much nicer and it was horrible. Of course, the friend says, because you took it in that and that situation and you should
next
never
time
do
you
that.
Pop acid in
no.
a police station.
No. So people quickly learn how to deal with alcohol, how to deal with other drugs. They learn to like it or dislike it. And if you dislike a drug, people don't use it anymore. So, according to me, if you are with people that have some experience in the use of drugs, it is always good to discuss this experience. But even if you don't, you will find out quickly for yourself what is good for you and what is bad for you. And sometimes you can make mistakes that are very serious.
Do you get to meet many people who have, like, say, taken acid and gone off their minds, thought they were dolphins or thought they were birds and started to fly?
No.
Because
no,
this
no.
is the type of legends that
yeah.
they sell here and everywhere, really. And in Israel, there is a special place for people who have come back from the east. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called Kfar Izun.
No.
It's a beautiful place by the beach. And
where is it?
Near Kesaria, I think. And
yeah, I've seen it. Have you been there? Yeah.
And that's where they put people who have come back from trips around the east and around their own brain. And this is what they, push through the media. They always give those people as an example. Like, I met this guy there, and he thought he was the Messiah. And I met this girl over there who thought she was a lizard. And I wanted to ask you: do you get to meet that kind of people in Holland?
No. I know that this is part of the rhetoric around drugs. It is as if you have cameras in all the hospitals and you show people coming in with traffic accidents, and this is what happens if you drive a car. Of course, most people that drive a car will never end up in a hospital, and the same is true for drugs. Most people who also have very intensive love affairs with drugs never end up near Caesarea. But if that is the only place that you speak about and have cameras, it looks as if that is a necessary effect of these love affairs. And of course, this is not true.
Mm-hmm. People have these misconceptions about cannabis as well, that it might make you hallucinate.
But you can really hallucinate on cannabis.
Can you?
Of course, if you take enough. You can also hallucinate on oxygen.
I think I have taken enough. Maybe I haven't. But I never hallucinated.
Okay, no, but I mean, people are so different. Some people will start hallucinating on a very little bit of grass, of marijuana, and others never. So
Right. Don't
take your own experience as the measure of all things.
Sure, it's a good advice.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Delicate flowers of yellow and green, towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes, and she's gone. Rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you away. Train in a station with plasticine pauses, with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile, the girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
You know, when I look at how the gay community has achieved public recognition, I really envy them. What do you think the drug reform movement can learn from the gay community about changing the way people perceive drug users?
Struggling for some sort of freedom always takes hundreds of years, because the absence of these freedoms is a cultural fact that goes from generation to generation. I mean, it took the first ideas about religious freedom occurred somewhere in the 15th century, and it was only made into a law that people have the right to be religiously free, at least in Western Europe, in the 19th century. So it took four centuries to get that type of freedom, and with homosexuality.
So you're saying we have quite many years before we do get some freedom here.
Yeah.
I keep telling people who want immediate results, who think that in their lifetime there might be a serious change, you know, that take it easy, you know, it's not going to be that fast, you know.
Probably not, but you never know.
But how did the Dutch do it?
Yeah, you should not forget that Dutch drug policy and other policies are related to a long history of emancipation in the Dutch society. So, in the mid-19th century, there was this incredible struggle for religious freedom finally coming to an end. And so all the religious groups within the Netherlands were having their freedom. You could be a free Catholic or a free Jew or a free non-believer. And so when in the 60s, and it was already before the 60s, but the emancipatory movement of the homosexuals really took off in the 60s, based on emancipations that had already been realized in Dutch society, because they said, why would we have less freedom then? And that is the type of reasoning that can have some political impact.
ערב טוב, good evening to all our listeners again. אנחנו נשמע עכשיו קטע שקצת קשור באיזושהי צורה לנושא של ההומוסקסואליות שדיברנו מקודם, וזה מערכון של ביל היקס, אהובי, שנקרא Gays in the Military. DJ.
For instance, gays in the military. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it. Gays want to be in the military. Here's how I feel about it. All right? Anyone dumb enough to want to be in the military should be allowed in. End of fucking story. That should be the only requirement. I don't care how many push-ups you can do. Put on a helmet, go wait in that foxhole. We'll tell you when we need you to kill somebody. You know what I mean? I'm so sick. I've watched these fucking congressional hearings and all these military guys and all the pundits seriously. Oh, the esprit de corps will be affected, and we are such a moral... Excuse me, aren't y'all fucking hired killers? Shut up! You are thugs, and when we need you to go blow the fuck out of a nation of little brown people, we'll let you know. Until then... Where did the fucking military get all these more? We are the military. Is that a village of children and kids? Where's the napalm? I don't want any gay people hanging around me while I'm killing kids.
It costs me a lot, but there's one thing that I've got. It's my man. It's my man. Cold or wet, tired you bet, all of this I'll soon forget. With my man, he's not much on looks, he's no hero out of books, but I love him. Yes, I love him. To all three girls has he, that he likes as well as me. But I love him, I don't know why I should. He isn't true, he beats me too. What can I do? Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just despair. But I don't care when he takes me in his arms. The world is bright. All right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away when I know I'll come back on my knees someday? For whatever my man is, I'm his forevermore.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Holland these days. I hear there are some changes since the new government has come to power. Because I must say that here in Israel, the drug authorities always tell us how the Dutch are so sorry for their policy, and how they regret it, and how everybody is working to change it back to restrictions. Could you tell us what's happening now with the new government?
Coffee shops are closed, but also coffee shops are opened. I mean, there is about 850 coffee shops. There have just been all kinds of small cities that open new coffee shops.
What about the anti-smoking idea that was supposed to happen somewhere around January?
To ban
smoking from coffee shops.
No, there was ideas to ban smoking from restaurants and cafes.
Yeah.
So coffee shops would also have banned smoking, but the whole restaurant and cafe world opposed these ideas, and they said, listen.
So it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
No. Okay, you could always trust the Dutch, you know, not to let anyone bullshit them, especially not when it comes to smoking.
No, I mean, so there is new legislation around smoking, and for instance, inside the university, I can no longer smoke. Now, I am a non-smoker, so for me,
it's
not
okay
very
for
bad.
You.
But there is new stricter legislation around smoking, but not in places where people go out.
Mm.
But you asked me about changes in drug policy.
Yes.
Now, the European Union has tried and also succeeded in introducing a kind of minimal penalty for drug crimes. And so they tried to make it possible for the Germans or the French to arrest people who in the Netherlands own coffee shops. But then the Dutch, we have a Christian Democratic Minister of Justice who is very much opposed to any drug use. But he defended the Dutch drug policy in the European Union to a degree that makes it impossible for other countries to arrest owners of coffee shops.
Yes.
So even the strictest government in relation to drugs that we have had for the last 25 years is defending the Dutch cannabis policies in a very successful way. I mean, this government has paid for a big RAND Corporation research project, of which I already knew the outcomes, but I mean, it is always nice if RAND says that you're right.
Mm.
They paid for a big research project in which RAND was asked to see if it is very important what type of drug policy you have for the outcomes in terms of drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And things that I've been saying already for the last 15 years were also confirmed by RAND, that it actually doesn't really matter what type of drug policy you have. So we in the Netherlands have a very low level of use of marijuana and hashish. One of the lowest in Europe.
But does it also mean that restrictions are not a good cause for higher drug use?
No, I mean,
but it doesn't result in higher drug use?
No.
If the restrictions are really bad?
No. I mean, look at the restrictions in a country like the United States of America. Drug use is about twice as high as in the Netherlands, although the Netherlands has a liberal drug policy for the last 30 years, and the USA...
But that's what I'm asking. Maybe the restrictions only make it worse.
No.
If you think it is a bad thing.
No, because... There is much less restrictions in New Zealand, for instance, than in the United States. But drug use in New Zealand is far higher than in the United States.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
There is no systematic relation between drug policy and levels of use. And this is one of these problems that has to do with the politics of knowledge construction. No one is paying money for finding out what are the important elements of drug use in a population. Why in one country like England? Why is drug use twice as high in England as in Holland? Nobody asks this question, so nobody researches it.
Yeah.
But politicians keep this for themselves. They say at home, listen, if we do this, then that will happen, which is mostly pure nonsense.
Yeah.
And so what we need is good research into what determinants we can find in relation to levels of drug use in the population. Why is it so that drug use in the Dutch population is so low? It's not because of its liberal drug policy, because also alcohol use is very low. The use of pharmaceutical drugs in the Dutch population is very low. Very few people get killed in traffic in the Netherlands. I mean, on very many variables, the Dutch are quite unique in the European Union.
So that means if you make people happy, then they have less reasons to...
I don't know if it is because of happiness. I don't know. We have not good theories, neither research about why these countries are so different. Why, in Italy, you can buy wine and spirits in a zillion places, but the Italians use very little alcohol in relation to the French.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the alcohol users use much less than the Swedish alcohol users. How come? In Sweden, you can only buy alcohol in a few places, and they still have a state monopoly on the selling of wine and spirits.
Yeah.
So you have to go to one of these state shops. In Italy, this would be unthinkable if you would sell drugs and wine through state shops.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibrations, she's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
good vibrations.
close me now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
Have a few questions for Peter here. יש לנו כמה שאלות מהמאזינים שלנו לפיטר, ואם אתם רוצים אתם עדיין יכולים לשלוח שאלות, ואנחנו כאן ונשתדל לענות עליהם. והשאלה הראשונה היא, אני אשאל אותה באנגלית כדי שגם פיטר יוכל להבין. Do you think technology functions as drugs, meaning internet and virtual reality are supporting the same needs, including addiction, love relations, alternate words, etc.? והשאלה היא, האם הטכנולוגיה מספקת את אותם צרכים כמו הסמים, כיוון שהיא גם נותנת תשובה לצרכים כמו התמכרות, כמו יחסי אהבה, עולמות מקבילים וכולי. Peter, the mic is yours.
You know, I really think that's possible. People can have relations with many activities or objects. They can also have multiple relations. But if you really like to surf the internet and kind of get dazzled by all the information that you find there, you can really fall in love with this dazzle, with this dazzling experience. And so I know people that really love to be, when they come home, they sit behind their computer and surf and go to sites that they like and use this as a sort of relaxation. And that can become really a habit that you learn, you teach yourself that sitting behind this monitor, surfing the internet can have such a nice relaxation effect on you that you will really miss it if you cannot do that. So people fall in love with technology, they like to build amplifiers or repair microphones, and this soothes them. It kind of is a very dear hobby. People can also fall in love with horses and clean the stables and brush them, and so there is not very much difference from a psychological point of view of all these activities that really get people going, and that that people do with a lot of love. And if it is interneting or drug use or cleaning the stable of your horse, repairing microphones, it can all have the same effective value for a person.
Already you can see research that tells you that people do get addicted to internet, and maybe in 20 years it will be the new devil. I mean,
why do you say they get addicted to the internet? They fall in love with the internet.
Well, I mean, research says they are. You can see the headlines.
Oh yeah, no, I know that.
People get addicted to internet. So what I'm saying is, maybe in a few years, the internet might be the new devil. Like the internet made me do it. You know.
No, you can expect repetitions of all the rhetoric that we now have for instance, drugs.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, get ready. This is what's going to happen. Here's another question from a listener, and she says, I know it's a girl because I know it's a girl, and she says, how can you classify types of drug lovers? Like, is there a certain person who likes heroin, or a certain person, kind of person, who likes cannabis or LSD? Can you divide them into certain types?
I don't think so. People have tried to do so. They have tried to find certain personality types, and there's a lot of research in the 70s that has been done then, and they never found any systematic type of personality that would use either this drug or no drug at all, etc. There is some talk about people that are very curious and always looking for new experiences, that they would be more prone to also use drugs, but that is a kind of tautological type of knowledge, because if you're curious and you want to have a lot of experience, you are trying to do everything. You may travel in your mind, you may use drugs. So maybe that is the only constructive thing that I could say about it, but more detailed knowledge about types of personalities, no, I wouldn't know where to find it.
So there is no such thing as a person who is doomed to be a drug lover.
No, not at all.
Listen to my new terminology. You like it?
Good.
Okay, I'm getting better at this.
You're
I'm practicing.
Be one. unbelievable.
אנחנו שומעים ברקע שיר של דיוויד סילביאן, שזה פשוט מצער להוריד אותו כדי לענות על שאלות, אבל יש לנו שאלות ואנחנו נענה עליהן באדיקות. And the next question, Peter, is actually is a question I asked you too, And here's another one. So how can a person stop using drugs if he wants to? What way would you recommend for a person who wants to stop using drugs?
Yeah, I would ask myself, what is this habit of using drugs or particular drugs doing for me? Why have I started it? Do I really know why I continue it? Does it give me the pleasure or the functions that I had before? And start questioning yourself about the functions. The answers may surprise you. Some answers, some people might say, yeah, indeed, I still like it. I still need it. It's still something that fills me up with what I need. And others might find that the answer is, actually, it is nothing anymore. And that is the same type of answers that you ask yourself when you feel that you're falling out of love with your lover. That's why this comparison with love is so good for drug love affairs. And then you have to start looking for something else that does what you need now. And this might take time. People have to take time for this. And then slowly start to replace what they have and no longer functions very well with something else that may function better. And sometimes this search is not very successful. You may not find something that does for you what you want. And then that's it. You're not a happy camper. But let's not end on this cynical note. Very often, one love affair is followed by another. It may take a few years, it may take a few bumps and tears, to be poetic tonight.
Yeah.
But it works.
I see the heat is making you more poetic than the last time we spoke. Yeah, it's doing something, definitely. Okay.
Thank you.
Peter, we have another question here. It's about ecstasy, and it's about the fake ecstasy research that we, well, some of us have heard about. What was it? Can you remind us that they found out that they gave the monkeys the wrong stuff?
They gave monkeys, instead of ecstasy, they gave monkeys massive amounts of dextromethamphetamine, one of the strongest amphetamines that mankind has ever known. And they gave these monkeys enormous amounts of that, and they died. Most of them immediately died and or got very sick, and they had to stop the experiments. And Ricord, that's his name, decided that this indicated that ecstasy, or MDMA, its scientific name, would be immediately so toxic that even one dose could kill.
And the connection to Parkinson.
Oh yeah, now, there is a lot of neurological research going on. People are really trying to find out how the brain works, and the neurochemical activities inside the brains are incredibly complex, and there is very many areas in the brain that interact together through electromagnetic and electrochemical activities. And the complexity of this is so incredible that we don't know anything much about the brain. We know much more than 30 years ago. But you should understand all this so-called knowledge about drugs and the brain as kind of the infancy of brain research. But of course it is fitted into a kind of propaganda world. All this research comes from the United States. It's all paid by
NIDA.
By NIDA, which I always call the Office of the Faith. So you can count on it that information about drugs will always contain the same elements. It will kill you, it will make you into a robber, it fries your brain, it kills your brain or elements of it, and there is not very much fantasy there.
But the question was the question was about
do we know something new?
Long-term effect of ecstasy and the connection to depression.
Yeah, so there's hypotheses about the toxicity of MDMA, which means the damage it can do to your brain cells, would provoke depression. And this has to do with older theories about how depression works, which we don't really understand. But up till now, these long-term effects have not been found. Actually, the research that you need to be able to say something useful about this has never been done, even. So
why? Because we need to do a long-term research on that.
Yeah, you would need
haven't
people.
Haven't been checked yet.
No, you would need people that would have only used MDMA and
for
then
10
for
years
then
so.
For a very long time. Yeah. There is some research on people that have been using all sorts of drugs, also yeah. very high levels of drug use, and the most damaging findings are that some of these people have a slightly smaller capacity to repeat long lines of words. So the hypothesis is that it would break down your memory functions.
Mm-hmm.
But this is barely significant in a scientific sense. Other effects on behavior are never found. But that's kind of a miracle. The FDA, the Federal Institute that regulates drug research, has given Rick Doblin the possibility to do research on...
Yes, these are actual news,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I've only heard
yeah.
about it last week, that he got the FDA approval for...
Yeah, so we will have some decent research on possible effects of MDMA in a few years, where, of course, the main research question of Rick and his colleagues is not what the damage is that MDMA can do to you, but what the positive effects could be for people that have serious traumatic
working with traumatized people.
Yeah, and they have hypotheses that it may work very well to digest a trauma in such a way that people can overcome it. So, and that, of course, is very interesting research, and it does not stress the eternal focus of NIDA, that it damages you. This is another medical use of MDMA, but it still doesn't all kinds of answers about recreational use of MDMA, and probably we will never see research that is good enough to answer those questions, because the funding of that research is done by no one. So the politics of knowledge construction in our field is very important, and up till now these politics, the politics of what knowledge can be found and what knowledge is made impossible to find, those political struggles in the knowledge field have not been fought to the full, and it may take us maybe 100 other years to find out about what these drugs really do.
And meanwhile, we only have our own experience to learn from, and so if it doesn't do you any good, just don't do it.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so let's go on with the music, right?
They paid paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charge the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Please don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Put up a parking lot.
She said she know my reputation, know I got clout, and like to get to know me without no doubt. So we started to have a long telephone conversation, trying to fill each other out, showing a lot of patience. Was a hooker for my man, word bar she was bad. If I met her whole family, I would kiss her dad. So in my mind, I was thinking she really likes me. She got a good head on her shoulder and she's no dummy. Me and her had compatible horoscopes, but she bugged me out so bad, I was on the ropes. Now when I was with her, my shoulders shrugged, because when I reached out for a kiss and hug, she mushed me in my face and smiled with a grin and said this question:
why can't we be friends? 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 Why can't we be friends?
I knew she was different, a very special gal. For the time being,
I shall respect the wishes. She wasn't a groupie. I understand. She says she just has met me. I liked her for that. A woman with morals. She called me every day, so I thought she was loyal. It bugged me out, cause I don't usually wait. But on a scale of 1 to 10, she was a 28. We was going out on the reg, movies and dinner. Always stay at my house, way past 10 o'clock. I thought she really, really liked me. I did the right thing, like my name was Spikely. She had her own car, so I walked her to the door. Like bust around, I said, give me some more. So I put my lips out to get a kiss, and she said, just like this. Why can't we be friends? 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 I knew something to draw because my Mac is correct. Talking for 6 months and didn't get it yet. I thought I was slipping, or maybe in the slump. I felt like Eddie Murphy when he went Professor Clump. Nah, it can't be. She's here every day. So I don't know why she wanna treat me this way. I gotta investigate like Magnum P.I. I just don't understand why or why. So the next time I saw her, she wasn't happy. She had a frown on her face and real jumpy. I said, yo, what's wrong? I was real concerned the way she looked. Her life had took a real turn. She said, I went to court today. And I said, what? If I tell you this, you're gonna go to... I said, tell me I can take it. I won't pretend. I gotta go to jail for life, so... Why can't we be friends? 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 Why can't we be friends?
תמיד רציתם להזדיין? עכשיו גם אתם יכולים. בגולשת.com אתם יכולים ללכת להזדיין 24 שעות ביממה. אין צורך בכרטיס אשראי.
One for the beat, two for the real. Right, cats that never doubted I was dropping a skill. For all my peoples in the NY and SA who bless me. Gas chase to all those who still wanna test me. Three for the fans who already know the name. Four smacks to all whack niggas in the game. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten for the flow. Hey yo, then drop it to zero. That's how the story goes. Come on, drama, so close to not completing the missing piece of the puzzle. Quit again and again, drop suits and following. Swallowing pride like porn stars and money shots. I'm hitting your blocks, spinning heavy as SUVs, doing 360s. I'm ready as ever, overdue like the rain in New York. Sustained a steady fan base, but you still don't know me. Hold me in your highest regards, I'm your homie. I relate, it's personal, nothing fake. Read me, wait, I'd rather dictate it. Related to you on a deeper level. Kick off your shoes and light your L's. Let's talk and get to know each other better. I'm Gene, the honorable tunes layered for years. You've seen on the low, in videos devoid of the hoes, the show is crunch time. I'm the one they sent to piss your label off. They won't fuck with me unless I'm parading, taking it off. Nah, man, executive con man. This record is too hot to get pushed back another minute. It would burn a second forward, admit it. You liked it when the first bar dropped. In less than 1 second, she's already spinning. I need y'all. You want to change? Well, here it is. Let's stop complaining. Make it happen. Everybody step up your game, because everybody's stuck in talk or reverse. Letting media choose a path and break your mark if you less than you worth. I was gonna throw the towel in, but honestly, the cats deserve some better music. Plus, come on, what else would I be doing?
So what would I do?
It's like my people said, I'm left it to you.
Tell me what would I do?
If I didn't try worse, if I didn't rhyme.
What would I do?
If I just hated and did nothing to change it.
Tell me what would I do?
Hell no, that could never happen.
There's so much further to go. I feel like Mindy Cohen doing a one to grow on. Yeah, I'm old school. 40s and hot tops, triple Gucci's and travel fox, Hirachis and blow pops. I'm down to earth but still dreaming. Peace to Scheme Team and all of my niggas on the come up. A Pontiac lyrics, we gon' take it there. The rest of y'all just taking up space, and you don't even care. It's like you started eating Thanksgiving dinner without saying grace. I whisper a prayer for you, cause you cats are lost and probably not gon' make it back. Fuck it, it's more for me, I guess, so please don't stress it. The best is yet to come. This is just an introduction. I'm about to have niggas madder than big titty girls who getting dressed. Production. The purpose of my function is to smash simply to trash you until you cry Uncle Mercy. Wander aimless in this concrete jungle and curse me. There ain't a need for verse three, I can feel it. That would rob you of your manhood, and I'm not into stealing, so tell me.
What would I do?
If like my people said, I'm left to do you.
Tell me what would I do?
If I didn't try verse, if I didn't rhyme.
What would I do?
If I just hated and did nothing to change it.
What would I do?
Hell no, that could never happen. Huh. Yeah, man. And it's only the beginning. You better choose sides now.
Shake dreams from your hair, my pretty child, my sweet one. Choose the day and choose the sign of your day, the day's divinity. First thing you see. A vast, radiant beach and cool, jeweled moon. Couples naked race down by its quiet side. And we laugh like soft, mad children, smug in the woolly cotton brains of infancy. The music and voices are all around us. Lake. Enter again the sweet forest. Enter the hot dream. Come with us. Everything is broken up and dances. Scattered on dawn's highway bleeding, ghosts crowd the young child's fragile eggshell mind.
Hey, Bachur, בוא תתקרב רגע. מה אתה מחזיק ביד? אני לא רואה עכשיו. צל שחור על זוג עיניים עצומות ואבק של ערב יום העצמאות נופל כמו שושנים מגן עדן מגן עדן באקדח בדיחה גסה עם הנהג וכל הזמן מלחמה שמגרנת לך ביד הייתי בא להילחם איתך ואני לא יודע בשביל איזה צד אין בחור
שמענו את יוסי בבליקי, ויוסי יהיה האורח בתוכנית הבאה שלי. הוא חבר טוב, הוא בחור מקסים, ויש לו מוזיקה נהדרת, ואני מקווה שהוא יביא גם מוזיקה משלו לאולפן הצנוע שלנו. בינתיים אנחנו באמת רוצים להודות לכל מי שהיה לו מספיק סבלנות, שהייתה לו מספיק סבלנות להישאר איתנו כל הזמן הזה, ולהקשיב לרעיון עם פיטר. ואנחנו מקווים מאוד לראות אתכם ביום שלישי הבא, 21:00, כמו תמיד, להתראות.